Thank you for that. You may be seated. And as we have Dr. Herbster come and open up the Word of God.
Thank you so much. Amen. And praise the Lord you're here tonight. I'm praising the Lord that you've come, and I'm praising the Lord that these two families have come to be here as well. The Heffernans and the Herbsters, thank you for being here, and thank you for coming to Kansas to pastor churches. And where it's in Wichita. What's the name of the church? Midland Baptist Church. How many of you have ever heard of Midland Baptist Church? Well, good, good. Most of the folks have. And then I know Faith Baptist Church in Manhattan. How many of you have ever heard of Faith Baptist Church in Manhattan? Wow, that's good. By the way, how many of you have ever heard of Wheatland Baptist Church in McPherson? Yes. Now, Pastor mentioned you trying to go to sleep. I just want to say, so far, all right, that has not been a problem. You have all been, at least appearance to me, as you've all been wide awake. But he is right. I will give you whiplash if you, because I'll shout, and you'll go, oh, and you're going to be at the chiropractor tomorrow because of me, maybe. So I hope that you'll stay with me tonight as we talk about God's will for our lives. How do we have success in finding God's will? This is a message that I think applies to all of us, and right now it applies to me. Because we live in Indiana, just outside of Indianapolis, and none of our family live in the same area. And of course, I just went through these chemotherapy treatments and got my curly hair out of it and all that. And now I have family members saying, now that Mom Stokes is gone, Gigi, we called her, died at 101, I shared with you, there's no reason you have to be in Indiana. Why don't you move to our area? Why don't you move to our area? I even had my son, Nathan's dad over in Hong Kong say, Dad, why don't you move to Hong Kong? And so everybody's putting the pressure on us right now to move. And we have said, okay, we will be willing to consider whatever the Lord has for us. And whoever gives us the most money will come your way. No. That's tomorrow night. We'll talk about success and finances, remember. And you know, bribery can help some. No, I'm not. I'm just kidding. We'll be back tomorrow night talking about that. But even Nana and Papa have to decide about, what's God's will for us in the future. And we've had that experience through the years. And so we need to be put into practice what I'm going to share with you tonight from God's Word. But let's start with our theme verse, okay? If you need to turn to it still, Joshua 1:8. How do we have biblical success? What is biblical success? Well, Joshua 1:8 defines it for us. Because Joshua 1:8 says, well, Joshua what? 1:8. Okay. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, I just have to tell this story tonight. Oh, Joshua 1:8. Thank you. I have to tell this story tonight because Nathan and Karis are here with three of our great-grandchildren. I brought Joshua in a little bit ago, and Kate and Ethan are here. And I have to tell the story about one of our family vacations where I had the responsibility of doing the devotions. That was my responsibility. We'd let the parents sleep in, and we'd get up and feed the children breakfast. And then we would give them a devotion, and we would have different things that we would be sharing with them when they were getting up. So this one day, I came out of the bedroom, and I didn't get myself fixed up at all. What do you look like first thing in the morning if you don't do something, you know? And I didn't look in the mirror. I didn't do anything, and I went out to sit down, and the children were kind of making fun of me and everything else, and I said, well, this has to do with my devotion today, and kind of caught their attention. And I said, you know, in James 1 and verse 22, it says we're supposed to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves, because you can be like somebody that doesn't looks in the mirror and sees what manner of man they are, and they go and they don't do anything about it. And I said, I didn't look in the mirror today. And I said, but we're going to look in the mirror together, because the mirror of the Word of God. And we're going to see what God says for us today in the Scriptures. And so made a big deal about it, made the point, came back the next day, and I again looked a mess, and they were all laughing. And do you remember this, Nathan? Okay, I'm just making sure. There he, I don't know, you were probably, I don't know, 10 maybe at that time, 10 or 11, 12?
Probably 9.
9, somewhere in that area. And of course, we have 13 grandchildren, and so two of them came later, so we had 11 of them there going through this. And I came out the next day looking the same way, and they go, Papa, 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 you didn't look in the mirror. Papa, you didn't look in the mirror. Look at you. You didn't look in the mirror. And I said, yes, I did. I looked in the mirror, and I didn't do anything about it. I said, who cares? What you see is what you get. Because I'm not going to change. And I said, isn't it sad that sometimes people are that way? Sometimes church members can be that way. Sometimes I can be that way. But that's not the way God wants us to be. What's He want us to do? He wants us to do what He tells us to do. And so I made the point about you can look in the mirror, you can look in the Bible, you can see what it says, but not do anything about it. But then the next day, I came out, and folks, I was dolled up. I mean, I looked good. I had every hair in a place. And I came out, and I said, guess what? And they guessed it. They said, you looked in the mirror, and you did something about it. And sure enough, that was exactly the case. And I hope that's the case in my life, every day of my life, not just physically speaking. I'm talking about spiritually speaking. Because you can be here all this week and you can hear what the Word of God says, but if you don't do what the Bible says, that man is not blessed in his deeds. But he that is a faithful doer of the Word of God, this man shall be blessed. James chapter 1 and verse 25. And so I hope as you're hearing the messages, tomorrow night, successful finances. Wednesday night, we're going to talk about success through trials and how even trials can make you more successful. I hope that you'll take the truth of God's Word and you will apply it. We shared a lot of things last night on applying the Word of God. Because those that are spiritual do what? Now, I know what you're going to say, hon. I wasn't expecting you to say it. I want the whole congregation to say it. Remember, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 15, those that are spiritual do what? Judge all things. Thank you. Y'all heard Debbie, so y'all got to... that you cheated on me on, but that if we're going to be spiritually minded Christians, we evaluate everything. And so tonight, I want us to evaluate this matter of finding God's will by turning to Romans chapter 12. Now, these are two very familiar verses that you have, I'm sure, heard messages preached on these verses before, but I'm not sure you've ever heard a message quite like what I'm going to share with you tonight, because this is a pattern for how we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the end of verse 2. We think of this passage of Scripture as a transition verse in the book of Romans, and we see the Apostle Paul doing this in several of the epistles, where he'll spend time talking about the blessings that we have of God. And then he'll talk about the responsibilities of man. And we should respond to the blessings of God by fulfilling the duties of man. And some people will say, well, you have doctrine and duties, because you know that the first 11 verses, chapters, I mean, of Romans talks about doctrine and the clear teaching of God's Word and what God has done for us in saving us. So we looked yesterday morning at the importance of salvation. I told you how I got saved in Romans chapter 3, verse 28. Therefore, we conclude a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And so that all those beautiful blessings of the first 11 chapters, and you come to chapter 12, and he says, now, because of all I've done for you, I have some things I want you to do. And, you know, the rest of the chapters in Romans talk about our responsibilities or our duties. But we're just going to look at verse 1 and 2 today. It says in verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may, what's the next word? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect. What's the last three words? Will of God. He says you can know God's will for your life if you will seek God's will, God's way. Now, how's that happen? Well, look first of all what it says in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, what's the next word? Brethren. Okay, who are the brethren? Who are the brethren? I'm not talking about the brethren church. I'm talking about who are the brethren. When we read brethren in Scripture, who's being addressed? Who's being referenced? Believers or unbelievers? Believers, thank you. So number one, if you ever want to know God's will for your life, you have to have experienced salvation. Salvation. You have to be part of the brethren. Because if you're not, have not experienced salvation, then you don't have the Holy Spirit of God in your life. I want you to go back, keep your finger right here. We're kind of just going a few pages over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I want you to see this. We'll start reading in verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. We said last night, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, they are foolishness unto him. Here he says, the carnal man is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, those that are unsaved, that don't have the Spirit of God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, look at the last verse, last phrase of verse 9. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, what does the Bible say? He's not a believer. He's not a part of the brethren. And when you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you. It's God that comes in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And God changes you from the inside out. These people that say, well, I can't get saved because I know I'm not living right. Well, you're not going to live right until you get saved. Because the only way you can live right is by having the Holy Spirit of God residing within you. And so for you to know God's will for your life, God's will, not your will, you have to have God residing within you. And God comes to reside within you the moment you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now, can I just share something else with you? You also get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm saying that to you because there's quite a little bit of confusion today about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some people try to tell you the baptism of the Holy Spirit is some second blessing that's evidenced by the speaking in tongues. Not true. Not true. Tongues were a sign gift, not to those who believe, 1 Corinthians 14:22, but to those who believe not. Because the sign gifts were given to verify the message of the apostles, because we didn't have the scriptures to verify. Now we don't need the sign gifts to verify the message, right? How do we verify the message? Yeah, read God's word. Have your Bible open as I preach and see if I'm saying what the Bible said. Because it doesn't matter what I say, what matters is what God says. And so the baptism of the Holy Spirit is when God, the Holy Spirit, baptizes us into the body of Christ. And that's at the time of salvation as well. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13 says, we've been all baptized by one Spirit into the body of Christ. And that's why I get to go to heaven. I shared with you on yesterday morning my own personal testimony of how I came to know Christ as my Savior. I didn't know all that happened to me at the time I was born again. I didn't know all the terminology. I didn't know all the theological truths. I didn't know that I was made one with Jesus Christ and baptized into his body. I've learned all those things since. I just knew I was a sinner that needed to be saved by God's grace. And I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and believed it was the only way I could have my sins forgiven, and I was saved. And God did change me. God gave me a peace that passed all understanding and started to change me. But the reason the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so important, my friends, is because that's why we get to go to heaven. God doesn't see me in my sin. I'm saved, but I'm still a sinner. Anybody else here like me? Anybody? Would somebody else raise your hand? I just want to make sure if you're... The difference between, saved sinners and unsaved, we should become sanctified. We talked about that, and sin less and love the Lord more. But I'm still a sinner, but God doesn't see me and my sin. He sees Jesus Christ and his righteousness. He has become righteousness for me. So I get to go to heaven because of Jesus Christ, not because of me. I have been made one with Jesus Christ. And so I go to heaven because of Jesus Christ. My sins are forgiven because of Jesus Christ. I'm saved because I believed on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection. And I turned from my sin and I trusted Jesus Christ. But one of the things a lot of times I didn't know when I was saved, and maybe you didn't know either, is that's when the Holy Spirit came to reside within me. And he's the true teacher. He's the one that will show you all things to come, John chapter 16. And guess what? Knowing the will of God is showing us things to come. So if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you want to know God's will for your life, let me tell you God's will for your life, that you get saved. Because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's the beginning. The first thing it takes to know God's will for your life is salvation. What is it? Salvation. See, I'll keep you awake by making you talk. I know how to do this. Salvation. But that's just the beginning. Let's read on. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We could say a lot about that section of the scripture, but I'm going to put it in one word, just to make it simple. It's dedication. Dedication. Would you say that for me? Dedication. Number one is what? Salvation. Number two is what? Dedication. You have to be willing to do what God wants you to do. Why would he waste his time showing you something you're not willing to do? The Apostle Paul, when he was saved on the road to Damascus, Acts chapter 9, do you remember what he said? Do you remember what he said on the road to Damascus? He said, Lord, showing us that he had accepted Jesus Christ as Lord. You know what his next phrase was? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And that's what we should be saying to the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you want me to do? Are you willing to do whatever he wants you to do? I love preaching to young people. I don't get to do it as much as my sons get to do it, and probably my grandsons will get to do it because I'm the old fogey, But I love preaching to young people. I've had opportunities, and when you're talking to young people about the will of God, sometimes they're all afraid that, oh no, if I say, God, what do you want me to do? He might want me to be a missionary. He might want me to preach. He might want me to teach in a Christian school, or he might do. So, well, can I tell you something? If that's what he wants you to do, you ought to be willing to do it. And my sons all surrendered to preach, but it wasn't daddy pushing them. As a matter of fact, I was careful because I didn't want any daddy-called preachers. I wanted God-called preachers. Your dad was probably the same way, even though you're going to kind of take his place. In September, he becomes a senior pastor, where his dad is pastor. How many years is your dad pastor there?
40 years.
Praise the Lord. Faithfulness. Required of a steward of the man be found faithful. Hallelujah. But it's got to be God that makes that clear. But here's what I tell young people. I wouldn't put any guilt trip on them about being in full-time Christian work. Our churches would be empty if everybody surrendered to full-time Christian work, right? You need a few workers. We're here to perfect the saints to do the work of the ministry. And praise the Lord for those that are faithful in church, even on a Monday night, that are doing the will of God by being here. But here's what I would ask them to do. I'd say, listen, here's the decision that I want you to make. I want you to be willing to do whatever God wants you to do. That's the attitude we need to have. We need to be willing to do whatever God wants us to do. You remember on Sunday morning, I also talked about service. That all of us should be seeking to serve the Lord in some particular way. That's part of success, because if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. What? Serving others, washing each other's feet. But at different stages of our lives, there's different things that we're able to do in our service, right? There's energy levels. There's ministry opportunities. Pastor Post used to be the pastor here at this church, and then he had to learn how to serve the new pastor and not be the pastor of the church and have a different ministry. And my wife has such a wonderful ministry in prayer. And people can be serving in prayer and calling people and finding out prayer requests. Or, boy, I'll tell you, some of you had a great ministry last night after the service. At least it ministered to me, because I didn't bring anything. And guess what? I even got ice cream. And I've never had raspberry cookies and cream ice cream. And I understand, Pastor, that was because of you. Is that, you brought it from the, did you, had you ever, Delbert, you were the one that brought?
He bought it.
It was for the men's pizza night. Well, keep it coming, folks. That's a great way to serve this preacher. I know. And talk to the family. They'll tell you about that. Yeah, oh, I'm sorry. Well, I'm leaving anyhow, so I guess it doesn't matter. But do you see what I'm saying? How does God want you to serve? Everybody has a different place in the body. We could go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And you can read it sometime for yourself. Everybody in the body has a place. We just have to find out where is that place. And it's not always the place that pastor thinks you ought to serve. Sometimes you have to say no. And I know pastor doesn't like me saying that, but I'm telling you, I've had to say no to some people. Because there's only so much you can do, and you have to know that it fits you, it fits your gift set. But that's, you need to be willing to do whatever God wants you to do. Before you say no, at least pray about it. At least ask the Lord what He would have for you to do. Because you have to be willing when God shows you His will to do His will. You have to lay yourself on the altar. My all is on the altar, Lord. What do you want me to do? So number one is what? Number two is what? Number three, look what it says in verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Now, a lot of times people apply this, you know, to worldly activities, you know, worldly music, worldly dress, you know, worldly movies, and we could go on and on and on. Don't, get that stuff out of your life. And by the way, that's not a bad application. But in this context, what's it talking about? Well, you have to read on to know. Because it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, your thinking. So what is he saying? He's saying we not only need salvation, we not only need dedication, number three, we need separation. In our mind, we need separation. We need to be separated from worldly thinking. Does anybody here, by chance, I'm just curious, remember the verse I shared with you that I said was my call to the ministry verse? The verse that God used in my life, Romans 8:28 was my salvation verse, but did anybody remember my service verse that I shared yesterday morning? Did anybody write it down someplace where maybe you can find it? Well, okay, turn back to first. See, that's good. I'm going to review it. Oh, you have it. Praise the Lord. You're right. First, so turn to it. Because I said verse 17. 1 John 2, 17 is my verse because it says, the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. But what I want you to look at tonight is what it says in verse 15 and 16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, three things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but it's of the world. And then verse 17, the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And I had to personally say, I'm not going to live for the world any longer. I'm going to give my life to Jesus Christ, and he wants me to preach, and that's what I'm going to do. And my wife agreed with it, and we surrendered to the ministry. Well, look at verse 16 again. The lust of the flesh is pleasure. Pleasure. The lust of the eyes are possessions, things. And the pride of life is position, prominence. Those are the things of the world. And by the way, those are the things the devil uses to tempt you to not to be following the Lord. I don't have time tonight, but if you went back to Genesis chapter 3, and maybe somebody showed you this before, in Genesis chapter 3, when the devil got Adam and Eve to sin, what did he use? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Go back to Matthew chapter 4 and check it out. And when Satan tempted the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what he used? Lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And if the devil's going to tempt you or try to keep you from knowing God's will, you know what he's going to tempt you with? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Pleasure, possessions, and prominence. Oh boy, it's a promotion, and it's more pay, and I can buy more things. Yeah, maybe so, but is it in an area where there's a good church where you can serve the Lord and be faithful to the Lord? In a good local church, you can get sidetracked by the things of this world. So when he's saying that you need to not be conformed to this world, he's talking about in your thinking, in your decision-making process, you shouldn't be making decisions on by how much money you can make. Boy, again, talking to young people about this, that's many times the first thing they think about. What are you going to do in your life? Well, where can I make the most money? Well, you definitely won't preach if that's what your motivation is. We have several preachers here who could probably give testimony of that, but I went from the business world to preaching. And I can tell you, you're not doing it for the money. You're doing it for the eternal riches, laying up treasures in heaven. But here it is then, folks. Are you tonight willing to do whatever God wants you to do? And if it's not something that tickles your fancy in a worldly way, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, are you separated enough from worldly thinking that you will do it anyhow? Because for God to show you his will, you have to make sure it's not a worldly desire. And you're not trying to measure something by what you want. You want to say, what does God want? So number one was what? Number two was what? Number three is what? Now you probably already know number four because I read on a little bit, right? Do you know number four already? You starting to get a pattern here? You see how it's starting to work? Look what he says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, what is it? You got it. Good for you. You're listening. It's transformation. You need to have your mind transformed. You need to have your mind changed. We need to have the thinking of Christ. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We need to be thinking the way Jesus Christ thinks. And In this transformation process, I've learned there's three things that are a must. Number one is you go to the Scriptures. Number one, you go to the Scriptures. You never violate the Scriptures. Never, never, never. I don't have to pray about being a bartender.
You say, oh, really?
Well, what am I going to do if I'm a bartender? You don't know what bartenders do. Good. You're simple to those things that are evil, okay? You talked about the stumbling block principle last night, right? You think I might cause some people to stumble if I'm a bartender? You know, so it's not something I have to pray about that because it's contrary to the Scriptures. You know, and we could go on and on and on, one thing after another that would violate the Scriptures. I don't want to violate the Scriptures in commands or prohibitions or even applications. Remember talking about principles last night? I want to make sure that I'm true to the Scriptures. And if I doubt, I... Yay, good. You got that one for sure. So number one, you go to the Scriptures. And you have to know the Scriptures to know what those prohibitions are. What are the things that wouldn't be pleasing to the Lord? Number two, you go to the saints. You go to brothers and sisters in Christ because in a multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. In a multitude of counselors, there is safety. I'll say this for these young preachers here tonight. But I had three counselors, pastors older and wiser than me, when I went to Tri-City in 1983 as the pastor. Yeah, 33-year-old, wet behind the ears, young guy, but I had the privilege of knowing some older, wiser pastors that were my counselors. I picked up some other counselors along the way too, but I was a pastor, and so I wanted to have some pastors. It's kind of rewarding to me that I have sons that still want my counsel sometimes. I have a grandson. Three grandsons that sometimes want my counsel, and the fourth one's getting ready to be in that type of situation. So and maybe I'll have a great-grandson someday if I live long. I don't know what the Lord's going to do with the... But I'm a counselor to some people, and I'm thankful that I can do that now. But just let me warn you, if you go to a multitude of counselors and they all tell you no about some area, and you say, yes, I know because God told me. I saw a message in the sky that He wrote for me. Well, I saw a message in the Bible that He wrote for me. And you know what He wrote? You need a multitude of counselors. And if you go contrary to your counselors, don't blame God when you get yourself in a big mess. I have seen that happen far too often. And when you're getting counsel, get counsel from people that maybe know, you know, the business. If you're thinking about an occupation as a plumber, you better talk to some plumbers. If you think about an occupation in technology, talk to some people in technology. We had one of our granddaughters get interested in somebody that was at West Point and was going to go into the Army. Guess what? Knew who she needed to talk to about whether this would be the right kind of life for her? Not me. I ran from the Army. some people that were in that, and some of those people were in Nathan's church out here because of Fort Riley, and that she talked to before she tied the knot. You see, there's so many people out there, Christian people, that can be good counselors to us, and young people, don't be a Rehoboam-Jeroboam problem where they went to their peers and all of a sudden sought counsel that they wanted to hear. And I've seen this all over the place where people keep talking to people until they find somebody that tells them what they want to hear. Remember, faithful are the wounds of a friend. You'll not know the times that we had people in our church that said, I think God wants me on the mission field. And I said, I don't. He said, well, I thought you won people. No, I don't. Because there's a mission field right here. And I've never seen you out visiting. I've never seen you inviting people to our evangelistic meetings. I've never seen you working in Vacation Bible School or helping on the bus route. I don't think you're... Why would I send you across the globe to do the Lord's work when you won't even do it here? So what do some of them do? Go to another church that will send them out. How crazy can it be? And I'll tell you, pastors that are here again, churches that are here again, you better talk to the home pastor before you support a missionary. Find out what they're doing in their local church. Because if they're not doing it in their local church, they're not going to do it on the foreign mission field. You just need to get a multitude of counselors. So number one, you go to the scriptures. Don't violate the scriptures. Number two, you go to the saints, get a multitude of counselors, but ultimately, you have to go to the Spirit. Number three, you have to go to the Spirit. Turn back to Philippians. I already shared with you Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. But I'd like for you to see what it says in verse 13 of Philippians chapter 2. I have shared this verse with many a person because I am not the Holy Spirit. I'm not even a Protestant Pope. I am just a pastor in the body of Christ, the same body of Christ you're in. I'm made out of the same stuff. I have the same Holy Spirit in me. And it's God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Do you see that? Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you through the Spirit both to will and to do His good pleasure. God will give you a desire to do what He already wants you to do. Remember 1 Timothy chapter 3? If any man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good thing. How does God work in our hearts and our lives? He works in our spirit. And He gives us a desire. I mean, again, talking about young people, I've blown some young people away when I ask them, what is it that God wants you to do? Oh, I don't know. Well, let me ask you then, what would you like to do? Oh, no, I'm not supposed to do what I want to do. I'm supposed to do what God wants me to do. I said, right, but how does God speak to you? And I take him to this passage of Scripture. He'll give you desire to do and will cause you to do what He has already predetermined He wants you to do. Now, you've got to go back to the Scriptures and make sure you're not violating the Scriptures. You've got to go back and seek a multitude of counselors and make sure that people feel like you're capable of doing this. And ultimately, you've got to decide before God, is this what He wants you to do? But how are you going to know God's will for your life? How does God speak to us today? In our hearts, through His Spirit. And so, you know, He will give you transformation in your mind so you'll think the way He wants you to think, and He'll give you a desire that He wants you to have, and the multitude of counselors will agree with that, and the Scriptures won't in any way be violated. And you will be able to know God's will for your life. As a matter of fact, look what it says. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the ultimate confirmation. The confirmation in your own heart that you're doing what God wants you to do. Number one was what? Number two was what? Number three was what? Number four was what? Don't you want confirmation, number five, that you can prove? Now remember, I'm a math major. I took geometry. Anybody else take geometry? You know what proofs are all about? You got to prove it. Well, God will prove it in your heart that it's exactly what He wants you to do. I remember when I was asked after leaving Tri-City, and already being down at the wilds and taking care of helping out with the family as after our daughter-in-law passed away of cancer. And somebody asked if I would come and be a interim pastor. If you ever think you had an interim pastor here, right, at Wheatland, they asked me if I'd come and be an interim pastor. Last thing I ever wanted to do was be an interim pastor. But this was the church where I was the assistant pastor, and they were having struggles. And so I went up to visit them and talk to the deacons and everything else. And they said, are you willing to? I said, I'm willing to pray about it. Yeah, I mean, I'll pray about it, but I don't see myself doing that. I was involved in Washington, D.C., as I still am, and I had a lot of other things going, you know, people where I was preaching and doing things. And I said, I don't see that happening. But I said, I will pray about it. And guess what else I did? I got a multitude of counselors about it. What people thought, and I had counselors going both ways, you know, and you know, because of what I was involved in, because I couldn't be there full time, because of some of the problems that were in the church that I was going to have to deal with. And by the way, my number one counselor is who? Who is my number one counselor? Do you remember? My wife. And so we prayed about it together. I'm preaching at another church. And we're in the midst of this praying and seeking counsel and asking God to give us clear direction. And they sang, Lord, send me anywhere. Only go with me. And we're trying to sing the song, and my wife is like, ooh, 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 ooh. And I'm thinking I know what's going on, but I really wasn't sure what was going on. And so when we got finished and we had some time to be alone, and she said exactly what I thought she was going to say. You know, do you think that maybe even is South Bend, Indiana? You see, when I was ordained at the same church in South Bend, Indiana, one of the songs that they sang for me at the ordination was, Lord, send me anywhere. And God made it very, very clear. We had a confirmation that this is what God wanted us to do if they would agree to the fact that I could still go to Washington, D.C., once a month, and if they understood, I wouldn't be full-time, I'd be only part-time. I was a part-time interim pastor for Community Baptist Church, but God made it very plain to us that this is exactly, it was God who worked in us, both to will and to do His good pleasure. And praise the Lord, we were faithful there, and they now have a pastor there, and we're grateful and thankful that we did what we did, even though for the longest time we wrestled with it. We're wrestling right now. Right? What did I tell you? We've got to figure out, is Indiana home? And we crossed the border and sang, back home again in Indiana. It's where we were both born. That's where our children were born. That's where we were married. But none of our family is there now. What does God want us to do? I can honestly say to you, we don't know yet, but we're praying, we're seeking counsel, and we're asking God to work in us both to will and to do His good pleasure. And maybe you're here tonight and you're struggling with some things. You have to make some decisions. I know these young people that are here, over the next 5-10 years of their lives, they're going to be having a lot of decisions to make. And mom and dad, you're going to be counselors for that. But ultimately, you want to guide your children into finding God's will for their life, what their occupation might be, what their life's partner might, who that might be, and how they're going to be able to serve in the days ahead in a local church here or somewhere else. You see, folks, inside of God's will, there's no such thing as failure. If you're doing what God wants you to do, you're successful. Did you hear me? Oh yeah, there's several preachers here. But if they're preaching and they're not supposed to be preaching, they're not successful. Because outside of God's will, there's no such thing as success. Can I say that again? Inside God's will, there's no such thing as failure. But outside of God's will, there's no such thing as success. So it's very, very important for us to practice Romans 12, 1 and 2. If you're here tonight and you don't have salvation, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you'll never know God's will for your life until you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved. As a matter of fact, He said that's His will for you, that you'd be saved. You don't have to question that. That's what He wants for all mankind, is that they come to a saving knowledge of Christ. You could be here as a Christian and be saved and on your way to heaven, but you haven't dedicated yourself to whatever God... You've never got to that point. Lord, what do you want me to do? Well, tonight would be a good night for you to do that. He may not show you right away, but at least you have to say, I'm willing to do whatever God wants me to do. And then don't get caught up in this world. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Get your mind transformed. You know, let God's word impact you. Let God's people impact you. Let God's spirit impact you so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Nobody looking around. And in just a moment, piano's going to play, I Will Follow Thee, My Savior, Wherever the Pathway May Go. Is that your heart? Is that your desire? I wonder how many of you here tonight would be honest with me and say, you know, you talk about some things you're having to pray about, get some counsel about, seeking God's will about, hey, I have some too. Would you pray with me about that? If you just put your hand in the air and say, yep, I've got some things I've got to decide. I've got some direction in life that I need to determine. Pray for me. Would you put your hand in the air that I may see it and then pray for you? I want to do that. Thank you. Let me ask you this. Are you here tonight and you've never said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. And tonight, you're going to say, Lord, what is it that you want me to do? And you say, Brother Herbster, pray for me. I want to make that commitment that I'll do what God wants me to do if He'll show it to me. Would you put your hand in the air if that's the case? Is there somebody like that? Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yep, amen. Great. And I wouldn't want to assume that nobody here is burdened with this idea of being in full-time Christian work. Are you here tonight and you would say, Brother Herbster, pray for me. I am considering full-time Christian work, and I want you to pray for me. I want to make sure I'm in the center of God's will doing what He wants me to do. Pray for me. I'm thinking about that. I'm considering that. Pray for me. Would you put your hand in the air if that's the case? One last question. Would you happen to be here tonight and say, Brother Herbster, there's never been a time in my life where I turned from my sin and I trusted Jesus Christ. I've never prayed to receive Him as my Savior. I don't know I'm going to heaven because I don't know that I'm born again. Pray for me. I'd like to pray for you if that's the case. I'd be happy to talk to you as well, but I definitely want to pray for you. Anybody like that tonight? Let's quietly stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, I thank You for working in hearts tonight and for seeing these that have some decisions to make and these that want to surrender tonight to do Your will, whatever it might be. And Father, I continue to pray if anybody comes under the sound of Your word this week and knows not Christ, that they'll come to a saving knowledge of Christ. I pray, Lord, that even during this invitation time, people will be willing to respond and do what You want them to do in regard to decisions that need to be made tonight. We commit this time to You, praying in Jesus' name. Amen. Keep your heads bowed and eyes closed as the piano begins to play. Pastor is here if you want him to pray with you. You want somebody else to pray with you. Maybe you just want to come get on your knees and make a commitment to the Lord. Lay a prayer request on the altar. Go back to your seat. You're welcome to do that as well. Let God have His will and way in your life. The song says, I will follow. Will you? Are you committed to doing whatever God wants you to do? Well, if you are, take your hymnals and turn to number 387. 387. I will follow. We're going to sing it as a prayer as we close out the service tonight. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for your response. Thank you for being here tonight. Even in this area of finances that we'll talk about tomorrow night, you know, there's God, you need to know God's will in a lot of different things in the area of finances. But the scripture says, if you're not faithful in the unrighteous mammon, money, who will commit to you the true riches of life? You want to see God's blessings, then make sure you handle your finances well also. Let's sing that first verse as we close the service tonight. Notice there at the second phrase, or through great trials, so low. Remember, Wednesday night, we're going to talk about how you can have success through trials. So I hope you'll be back the next two nights, and we'll continue to talk about how we can be successful in God's sight. Pastor.
Thank you for that, Brother Herbster. I trust your cup was filled tonight. I know mine was. Praise the Lord for that. Pastor Nathan Herbster, make sure we get the right Herbster. Would you close us in prayer tonight, please?
Lord, I thank you for how practical your word is. And Lord, forgive us for the times that we question your will, or Lord, we feel that you haven't directed us. Lord, I pray that we would follow what your word says in discerning your will. Lord, may we be dedicated to you. May we allow your word to transform our thinking as well as our lives. And Lord, may we be able, and we pray this promise even that you've given to us, may you help us to be able to confirm and to prove what your will is for our lives. Lord, I pray especially for those that confess tonight that they do want, maybe for the first time in a long time, to rededicate their life to you. Lord, may you give them direction. I pray that they would have your will made clear for them. And Lord, may all of us always be sensitive to your leading in our lives and in our hearts. And Lord, may you get the glory because you are the one who is working in our hearts to do and to will of your good pleasure. Thank you so much for this evening. Lord, may you just continue, especially for the people here in this church, to encourage hearts and to transform lives the rest of this week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You are dismissed.